This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. We continue our conversation about live storytelling with Jennifer Hickson, senior producer at The Moth, and Jen Rubin and Deb Tetzlaff, both finalists in The Moth's Milwaukee Grand Slam. The Moth Grand Slam Championship is tonight in Milwaukee.
So, Jennifer Hickson, first of all, as we come back to the conversation, you're a producer at The Moth. I think you were a volunteer for a while. Have you ever gotten up and told a story?
I have.
Excellent.
How
was
terrifying.
It to be on the other side, yeah?
It's so scary. Well, I did it in the beginning, so I know what these guys are feeling. It's pretty scary. But once you begin, you go with it. And as I said, you feel that audience. They will, if you stumble a little bit, they will say, go on, keep it's all right, and they'll help you along. But it's the first few sentences are pretty rough.
I want to ask the finalists we've got with us about the crafting of the story. Jen Rubin, let's start with you. When you probably have the basic idea for the story, how do you start framing it as something to present?
I don't really know. I guess I just keep thinking about it. I mean, I take my dog for long walks. I whatever I'm doing the day to sort of keep, circling it in my head. And then at some point I have enough of a gelled thought that I start trying to write it down. I'm definitely someone who likes to write the story down. It just sort of helps me, then I can kind of like move it around once I see it written. But I don't really have anything more structured than that.
And you've written it down. And when you tell it, do you try to do it word for word as you originally wrote it? Or do you let yourself improvise, mix it up a little?
I try to improvise and mix it up because I think if I get up and try to recite it, it's sort of obvious. And then if I, forget one thing, I get mixed up and it doesn't work as well. I have the structure in my head. I know in what order it's going to go, but I'm not saying the exact same words.
And Deb, let's bring you in on this now. You have a story, Love Hurts. How do you take that real-life event and then figure out how to present it to other people?
Well, I'll use the example for this competition. As soon as I found out the theme, for some reason, I just instantly knew that my story was going to be about musky fishing and midlife crisis. And I write just brief notes for myself. I don't want to write out my story in its entirety because I've been at a Grand Slam where someone who had the story memorized got lost right in the middle. And it was a little bit tragic because he never quite found his way back. And so when you're telling a story, it is supposed to be told. So I think all of us really do try to keep it loose and flowing. But we all end up at 7 minutes or 8 minutes rather than five. And we run our stories past Jennifer Hickson because she is a wonderful editor. And she did me a favor because she macheted my beginning and she axed my ending. And, you can be horrified for about 10 seconds and then grateful because she has such instincts. And Jennifer is key to all of our success in a story slam or a grand slam. The grand slam winners, we all get edited by her. We have a chance to tell her our story ahead of time, and she is terrific at guiding us.
Jennifer, machetes, axes, the brutality. I can't believe it. What is it like being on that end of it, editing, helping people take that, I guess, raw material and craft it into their finished product?
It's really fun. It's challenging also because, for instance, Deb's story, I love so much about it. It's painful for me to take the axe too. probably hurts her more. But the thing is that you need a story that will that something's at stake. And that's always, it's hard to identify that in your life. You got to find something. Life is this one big long story that begins when you're born and ends when you die. And the trick of telling a story is carving out where's the beginning and where's the end and deciding on those two parts. And that is kind of the hardest for a lot of people.
I can't remember which author it was. Their advice was something like murder your darlings. Find the thing you love in your story you can't live without, and the best thing you can do is get rid of it. Jen, Rubin, yes. Have you been in that position before where maybe you or maybe Jennifer suggested, hey, this part of your story, it's great, it's interesting, it's got to go?
Well, I haven't had it so much with the story that I'm working on, but I actually I'm trying to work on a book, and I finished this chapter, and I thought it was perfect, and then someone read it. They said, "Yeah, no, like nothing, none of that's right," you know. But I will actually say that it's my practice doing the moth every month that's really helping me write this book, because a friend of mine said it's too sociological. You just need to write it like some moth story. So anyhow, so the whole, you know, what Jennifer was just saying, the whole, like, you need a catchy beginning, you need a catchy ending, you need, like, a narrative arc to pull it together. I think this really works for any kind of writing.
I don't know. I might have trouble with that. I mean, not that I think I'm a good writer, but if I went to the trouble of writing, I might have, maybe I'd have too thin skin to take that kind of criticism. Jen, did it take a while to build it up where you could take this helpful but maybe brutal criticism?
Well, I actually thought they were wrong. And then, so I sort of put my thing aside and I thought, well, let me just like try it the way she was talking about it. And then I'll know that what I had was good. And then I realized by the time I was done that I was wrong and she was right. So, but yeah, no, you know, if you told me when I first started that I wasn't going to use anything, I just spent 3 months writing, I wouldn't have believed you or been very happy about it.
Jennifer, you don't have to name names, but when you're helping people refine their stories, do you get, I don't know, defensive responses sometimes at first?
Sure. There's people who really want to hold on to something, and it's hard to get them to come around. But I always prevail. No.
Well, we've got a caller on the line. Deborah in Milwaukee is with us. Deborah, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I went to the first event, the storytelling event at the Miramar, and I put my name in the hat, sat in the back row with my journal, and I wrote down, "Dear God, please do not let me be called first." And I was second. And I read that. I mean, I read it from thought. And everybody laughed. But then I just hadn't, concentrated, made everything, my whole story tie into the theme event of the night. And so my advice for people is to just not be afraid of all the idiosyncratic details that make your life and you seem crazy, because that seems to be what ties everybody together, and it's like group therapy. And I think when you hear someone else saying all these things about their thought processes, you realize, well, we're not so different after all.
Interesting, Deborah. Thanks a lot. Well, Deb, you've shared some particular details even in just that clip we played earlier. Is that good advice? Share those unique details that bring us all together?
Well, the moth is ultimately about ordinary people getting up and just having the courage to share a story. Sometimes the stories blow an audience over because they are totally compelling. And other times the stories are just simple, heartfelt tales told from the heart. And that's all that really counts. You know, the points and the judging, it's just frosting on the cake. The biggest part, the most rewarding thing, is watching people get up and tell for the first time. Because fear of public speaking is what? The number one fear in the world?
Lying and speaking.
Yeah, dying, you know. So it's just a victory, and it's a welcoming audience, whether it's at a story slam or it's people sitting, streaming the podcast. The audience is the key.
Deb, do you hope that people take this beyond the moth and tell stories, just tell stories to each other, run a campfire, run dinner?
My friends who are listening are laughing out loud right now, because I am always telling people, you have a story. Probably because I have been exploring writing as a hobby. I go to a writing workshop in Waukesha called All Writers, and I've been filleted and mangled and told, this has to be cut, that has to be cut. And so I've gotten a bit of a thick skin about it. But let's face it, the campfire is what life is all about. We gather, we share stories, that's how we learn, that's how we grow, and that's how we entertain ourselves and find out we are not alone. We all share the same things.
Well, we'll wrap up the story there. We've been talking to Jennifer Hixon. She's senior producer at The Moth. We also heard from finalists in The Moth's Milwaukee Grand Slam tonight. We had Jen Rubin and Deb Tetzlaff. And by the way, we should probably mention that you can listen to The Moth every Friday, that's tonight, at 9 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. We continue our conversation about live storytelling with Jennifer Hixon, senior producer at The Moth, and Jen Rubin and Deb Tetzlaff, both finalists in The Moth's Milwaukee Grand Slam. The Moth Grand Slam Championship is tonight in Milwaukee.
So, Jennifer Hixon, first of all, as we come back to the conversation, you're a producer at The Moth. I think you were a volunteer for a while. Have you ever gotten up and told a story?
I have.
Excellent.
How
was
terrifying.
It to be on the other side, yeah?
It's so scary. Well, I did it in the beginning, so I know what these guys are feeling. It's pretty scary. But once you begin, you go with it. And as I said, you feel that audience. They will, if you stumble a little bit, they will say, go on, keep it's all right, and they'll help you along. But it's the first few sentences are pretty rough.
I want to ask the finalists we've got with us about the crafting of the story. Jen Rubin, let's start with you. When you probably have the basic idea for the story, how do you start framing it as something to present?
I don't really know. I guess I just keep thinking about it. I mean, I take my dog for long walks. Whatever I'm doing the day, I just sort of keep circling it in my head, and then at some point, I have enough of a gelled thought that I start trying to write it down. I'm definitely someone who likes to write the story down. It just sort of helps me. Then I can kind of like move it around once I see it written. But I don't really have anything more structured than that.
And you've written it down. And when you tell it, do you try to do it word for word as you originally wrote it? Or do you let yourself improvise, mix it up a little?
I try to improvise and mix it up, because I think if I get up and try to recite it, it's sort of obvious. And then if I, forget one thing, I get mixed up and it doesn't work as well. I have the structure in my head. I know in what order it's going to go, but I'm not saying the exact same words.
And Deb, let's bring you in on this now. You have a story, say, Love Hurts. How do you take that real-life event and then figure out how to present it to other people?
Well, I'll use the example for this competition. As soon as I found out the theme, for some reason, I just instantly knew that my story was going to be about musky fishing and midlife crisis. And I write just brief notes for myself. I don't want to write out my story in its entirety, because I've been at a Grand Slam where someone who had the story memorized got lost right in the middle. And it was a little bit tragic, because he never quite found his way back. And so when you're telling a story, it is supposed to be told. So I think all of us really do try to keep it loose and flowing. But we all end up at 7 minutes or 8 minutes rather than five. And we run our stories past Jennifer Hixon, because she is a wonderful editor, and she did me a favor, because she macheted my beginning and she axed my ending. And you can be horrified for about 10 seconds and then grateful, because she has such instincts. And Jennifer is this key to all of our success in a story slam or a grand slam. The grand slam winners, we all get edited by her. We have a chance to tell her our story ahead of time, and she is terrific at guiding us.
Jennifer, machetes, axes, the brutality. I can't believe it. What is it like being on that end of it, editing, helping people take that, I guess, raw material and craft it into their finished product?
It's really fun. It's challenging also because, for instance, Deb's story, I love so much about it. It's painful for me to take the axe too. probably hurts her more. But the thing is that you need a story that will that something's at stake. And that's always, it's hard to identify that in your life. You got to find something. Life is this one big long story that begins when you're born and ends when you die. And the trick of telling a a story is finding, carving out where's the beginning and where's the end and deciding on those two parts. And that is kind of the hardest for a lot of people.
I can't remember which author it was. Their advice was something like murder your darlings. Find the thing you love in your story you can't live without. And the best thing you can do is get rid of it. Jen, Ruben, yes. Have you been in that position before where maybe you or maybe Jennifer suggested, hey, this part of your story, it's great. It's interesting. It's got to go.
Yeah, well, I haven't had it so much with the story that I'm working on, but I actually I'm trying to work on a book, and I finished this chapter, and I thought it was perfect. And then someone read it. They said, yeah, no, like nothing. None of that's right, you know. But I will actually say that it's my practice doing the moth every month that's really helping me write this book, because a friend of mine said it's too sociological. You just need to write it like some moth story. So anyhow, so the whole, you know, what Jennifer was just saying, the whole, like, you need a catchy beginning, you need a catchy ending, you need, like, a narrative arc to pull it together. I think this really works for any kind of writing.
I don't know. I might have trouble with that. I mean, not that I think I'm a good writer, but if I went to the trouble of writing, I might have, maybe I'd have too thin skin to take that kind of criticism. Jen, did it take a while to build it up where you could take this helpful but maybe brutal criticism?
Well, I actually thought they were wrong. And then so I sort of put my thing aside and I thought, well, let me just like try it the way she was talking about it. And then I'll know that what I had was good. And then I realized by the time I was done that I was wrong and she was right. So, but yeah, no, you know, if you told me when I first started that I wasn't going to use anything, I just spent 3 months writing, I wouldn't have believed you or been very happy about it.
Jennifer, you don't have to name names, but when you're helping people refine their stories, do you get, I don't know, defensive responses sometimes at first?
Sure. There's people who really want to hold on to something. And it's hard to get them to come around. But I always prevail.
Well, we've got a caller on the line. Deborah in Milwaukee is with us. Deborah, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I went to the first event, the storytelling event at the Miramar, and I put my name in the hat, sat in the back row with my journal, and I wrote down, dear God, please do not let me be called first. And I was second. And I read that. I read it from thought. And everybody laughed. But then I just hadn't concentrated, made everything, my whole story tie into the theme event of the night. And so my advice for people is to just not be afraid of all the idiosyncratic details that make your life and you seem crazy, because that seems to be what ties everybody together, and it's like group therapy. And I think when you hear someone else saying all these things about their thought processes, you realize, well, we're not so different after all.
Interesting, Deborah. Thanks a lot. Well, Deb, you've shared some particular details, even in just that clip we played earlier. Is that good advice? Share those unique details that bring us all together?
Well, The Moth is ultimately about ordinary people getting up and just having the courage to share a story. Sometimes the stories blow an audience over because they are totally compelling. And other times the stories are just simple, heartfelt tales told from the heart. And that's all that really counts. You know, the points and the judging, it's just frosting on the cake. The biggest part, the most rewarding thing, is watching people get up and tell for the first time. Because fear of public speaking is what? The number one fear in the world?
Flying and speaking.
Yeah, right. Dying, you know. So it's just a victory. A victory, and it's a welcoming audience. Whether it's at a story slam or it's people sitting, streaming the podcast, the audience is the key.
Deb, do you hope that people take this beyond the moth and tell stories, just tell stories to each other, run a campfire, run dinner?
My friends who are listening are laughing out loud right now, because I am always telling people, you have a story. Probably because I have been exploring writing as a hobby. I go to a writing workshop in Waukesha called All Writers, and I've been filleted and mangled and told, this has to be cut, that has to be cut. And so I've gotten a bit of a thick skin about it. But let's face it, the campfire is what life is all about. We gather, we share stories. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And that's how we entertain ourselves and find out we are not alone. We all share the same things.
Well, we'll wrap up the story there. We've been talking to Jennifer Hixon. She's senior producer at The Moth. We also heard from finalists in The Moth's Milwaukee Grand Slam tonight. We had Jen Rubin and Deb Tetzlaff. And by the way, we should probably mention that you can listen to The Moth every Friday, that's tonight, at 9 o'clock here on the Ideas Network.